Let us read the Word of God before we pray from Matthew 6. Last night we read from Matthew 5. Let us today read from Matthew 6. Let us stand up while we read the Word. Matthew 6 from verse 1. Here our Lord says, take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father who is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father who sees in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father who is in secret, and thy Father who sees in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they should be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us that we don't fall into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Up to here, this word. Let us worship together. Faithful God, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts that we may stand here in this hour looking up to you, hearkening to the words which you give us by your grace. Your word is still valid today, as you have spoken it in those days. So it is even today valid, Lord. Give grace, O God, that we as your people act as your word says it. By your word, you speak to us, O Lord. In those days, you walked on earth, and you spoke from mouth to mouth. But you left unto us your word, Lord. And you are still speaking today through your word. To your name be the glory. We ask you now, forgive us our guilt, and we also want to forgive the people, Lord, where we have failed and are guilty. Be merciful to us. We ask you tonight, take everything from us, Lord. Take everything what is not pleasing to you, so that your well-pleasing can come down on us in these days and in these hours, O God. Lord, we ask you intimately, bless us, answer us, and be with us, Lord. Let your word go forth mighty to us, and cut off all wild branches which don't fit there into your kingdom and in your glory. We are your people, the flock of your hand. I pray you, bless all who have come, my God. Bless all who could not come, Lord. Lord, help. Then we are helped. I ask you, bless him who brings your word, and bless all listeners who will hear it. Lord, we pray, give grace in all respects, and be with us, Lord. This is our desire, and this is our prayer. Glory to your wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise and thanks be unto the Lord for the privilege that we again can be here. We are glad that you have come already. Others are still on their way. And together, we want in these days to have an experience with God. Not only to hear of him, and also not be satisfied what others have experienced with him, but we want, with all our hearts, ask for, and also believe in it, that God will come nigh to us and will reveal himself to us. The Lord, of course, promised it. The world sees me no more, but ye shall see me, and I will reveal myself to you. And Paul writes in Colossians 3 from verse 1 to 3, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. We wait for the glory, and we want to experience how the sons and daughters of God are manifested. But to it is necessary that Christ, not as a doctrine, not as an idea, but that Christ, as the power of God, could be manifested in our lives. And these days and hours must serve for it. For this purpose, God ordained them. If it would be after my will, then we would just have prayer meetings, praying until we received an answer, until God has answered, until everybody penetrated to the assurance of being saved and can say, out of a personal conviction, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know that he has forgiven my guilt, my sin, everything is atoned and nailed it to the cross, and that I am his possession. We want that all who come under the sound of the word of God are not just hearers, but could become receivers and also doers of the word. To this, may God give us all grace and strength. We don't have to make any efforts to it, but just making ourselves available to God in obedience of faith. Faith and obedience belong together. And Paul expresses it in Romans 16 at the end, in summary, to work obedience of faith among all Gentiles. For this purpose, the mystery of God was revealed in Christ. About this, we will still speak tonight. I brought with me a sermon of Brother Branham to read from it. In these meetings, I will not speak loudly. The amplifier system must take care for it, that all hear it. I just have to budget with my physical strength. It is also not important with what kind of might and emphasis we bring the Word of God. It's important that the power of the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and makes it to each one to a living power of God. Because it belongs to the subject, I would like to read from the Old and New Testament, Exodus 29, from verse 43. And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. And I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest's office. And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. In chapter 34, we read verse 29. And it came to pass, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mountain, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. Now, from verse 33, and till Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, and Moses put the veil upon his face again, until he went in to speak with him. Now, from 2 Corinthians, chapter 3, Here we read from verse 6, who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more does the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. We could read more verses, that the veil, maybe verse 15, quickly. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Now, from 2 Corinthians 4, from verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now, so far this precious and holy word of God. In this sermon, which Brother Branham preached under the title The Unveiling of God, the one as well as the other is emphasized. God is hidden to some, and to the others he is revealed. Some see, the others see not. Some believe, the others believe not. And to them who believe, he reveals his glory. Yes, he reveals himself to them personally. We all know God was hidden in Christ. God was also revealed in Christ. Christ is the revelation of God in the shape of a man. But who has seen it at that time? Who recognized it? The people said, we know him, we know his brothers and his sisters, and so forth. And the Lord calls out loudly, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Who are my sisters? And then he gives the answer, all who do the will of my heavenly Father, these are my brothers and my sisters and my mother. May God make such people out of us. We of course know what it is all about in this time. Not only about that we read some story from the Bible, no matter how good it is, and can be used, but by this, that we now live in the prophetic age, therefore, the prophetic part of the plan of salvation, which belongs to the completion and to the finishing, must be put upon the lampstand, so that we are taught by God and receive an insight which must then lead to the placing, even an introduction into that what God is doing now is not enough if the introduced ones do not let themselves be placed into the plan of God. We can all speak about the plan of God. We can sing of it. We can preach about it. It will not be sufficient. The introduced ones must let themselves be placed. They must become a firm part of the divine plan of salvation in this time. And I could show you that all who since the beginning of the New Testament were pardoned by God and who had received the divine promise, through them Bible prophecy was fulfilled. Let us take John the Baptist. When the angel came to Zacharias, delivering the prophetic message, and said right away who this child will be, that he will walk before the Lord in the spirit and in the power of Elijah. It was not just an announcement, but a prophetic announcement which was at the beginning of the divine plan of salvation. And this man whom it concerned was a part of this divine plan. On him and through him was fulfilled what the prophet Isaiah said in chapter 40, verse 3. And here in this sermon, Brother Branham said a couple of things which deserves to be emphasized. I read, "He is the same God who reveals everything from perfection to perfection, from glory unto glory." That's the way the church goes. Through the ages, he has revealed himself by his prophets, and them were not only prophets, they were gods. He said so, for what they spoke was God's word. They were the flesh that God was veiled in. Men of God who walked this earth, who walked on the same streets as all the people, were clothed in the same way. They received the life-giving word of God. By this they became carriers of this divine promises, which then in the New Testament took shape on and were fulfilled. They were called gods. We already dealt with this in our preachings. We must recognize that God has made children of God out of children of men. This is a divine fact. Until Golgotha happened, it was a promise. Since Golgotha, it became reality. All spoke of the coming Redeemer. John could point to him and said, "This is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." In Christ, all of Bible prophecy concerning our reconciliation and redemption has become a divine reality here in a human body for us humans. Both is true. God was in Christ, and we were in Christ. Before the foundation of the world was laid, we were in the divine plan of salvation. This we can now probably not fully evaluate or understand, but the Holy Scripture teaches us, Paul expresses it, that we were crucified with Christ, that we were buried with him, that we rose with him. All this are divine facts, which at first are written in the Word as a proclamation. But this proclamation must become your and my experience with God. It cannot just remain written here. It must become your and my experience with God. I read, God veiled in Jesus to do the work of redemption at the cross. God could not die as a spirit. He is eternal. Therefore, he had to put on a shape to suffer death. He did die, but he couldn't do it in his God form. He had to do it in the Son form, as the Son of Man. Also this we fully understood. As long as God was in his spiritual body, as the Yahweh of the Old Testament, he could not die, but the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We saw his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. It continues, he had to be born in human flesh. This we believe with all our hearts. He became man so that we can be transferred back into the divine stand. He changed his form from Jehovah to Jesus in order to take the redemptive work in the drama that he was acting out in God at the cross. For me, this is tonight in this respect important, that we firstly accept this divine, which happened once for all, which is eternally valid, that we accept this work of redemption by faith, and not seeking on wrong ways, but that we let ourselves be found by God, to experience him, and to be adopted as children of God. God was in his temple, veiled in human flesh. Our Lord said at that time, "Destroy this temple, and I will rebuild it in 3 days. And the people were thinking earthly and said to one another, 46 years they builded on this temple, and this man wants to rebuild it in 3 days. It continues, God was in a human temple. Now, be real careful. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God veiled, hiding himself from the world, veiled in a human being, hidden from the world. They saw a man, of whom they said on top of it, he is born out of wedlock, and he is a devil, and what kind of things they said about him, and thought to be in the right. That what they have seen before their eyes gave them the impression that they were in the right. But how much were they in the wrong? Because they knew not the Holy Scripture and the power of God. Also today, it's the same. We may, from our human point of view, be 100% in the right. And from God's perspective, we are 100% in the wrong. It must come to the point that we know both the Word of God and the power of God. At that time, this was said connectedly by our Lord. Ye are in the wrong because ye don't know the Holy Scripture and the power of God. This should tell you and me, he who received the Holy Scripture by divine revelation, he may count with it to also receive the power of God. God doesn't just teach us to give us hope, to make us hungry, to work a longing in us. God speaks with us so that he can satisfy this longing, so that he can give what he promised. In the Old Testament, when God sat on the throne of grace, he was hidden from the people by a veil. Amen. This veil was hiding God. They knew that God was there, although they couldn't see him. That pillar of fire never appeared anymore there. Did you notice? There's not one time in the scripture from the time that pillar of fire went in behind that veil that it ever showed again till it come from Jesus Christ. God was veiled. Also here, we could go into detail. God was present with his glory on the throne of grace. But most certainly, we will read some other things which gives us the necessary information about it. Now, the Jews could not understand how that God could have mercy upon a sinful, foul people like we are. They couldn't see this one who was giving mercy because he was hid. He was behind the mercy seat on the inside where the veil was hanging down, which covered him. Before, if any man walked in behind that veil, it was sudden death. Here comes now a thing which will become very important for us. Only once in a year, the high priest with the blood of reconciliation could go behind the veil. Another one who would have dared to do this, he would have died. I read on. Until then, there was no redemption yet. Anything what is potential is not the real thing yet. Sin was covered, but not remitted. Remitted is divorce and put away. And so the blood of sheep and goats could not do that. Therefore, Jehovah was hid behind a veil. A man would have dropped dead if he would have tried to enter back behind this veil where he was hid. At the crucifixion, however, when Jesus, who was this veiled God, died there on Calvary, God sent fire and lightning and rent this veil from top to bottom, so that the whole mercy seat was in plain view. But they were too blind to see it. Here we have a wonderful comparison. In the Old Testament, God was hid, inaccessible. Who could speak with him? Who could come nigh to him? And whoever would have come nigh to him and would have walked behind the veil, this would have been the sudden death for him. Today, since Calvary, it means death for all of us if we don't go behind the veil, if we don't meet God at the mercy seat, if we don't come before the Ark of the Covenant. This is the difference and the revelation which we see in Jesus Christ our Lord. It continues, he was in plain view, but they couldn't see him. Could it be possible that the Gentiles has did the same thing? Oh God, they have had the church ages of the Son of God, but these denominations, this veil of traditions that we've got since Pentecost, it was rent. The people have said, the days of miracles is past. God has took the veil off it, and these church traditions have been rent and brought it in plain view. And they are ready to crucify him again. The unveiled God in plain view. Hallelujah. Beloved, this is for us not a doctrine and not a knowledge, not a point over which one can argue and may argue. This is for us the core of the plan of salvation, that God was in Christ and reconciled the world with himself, to some hidden, to the others revealed. Some believe, the others remain in unbelief. And especially in the time in which we live now, the revelation of Jesus Christ to everyone who received it by the Spirit revealed in his heart has offered the most and given the most. Everything, what else we hear in knowledge and teaching, is good and necessary, but it is written that all treasures of the wisdom and of the knowledge of God is hidden in Christ. And if He reveals Himself to us, then with Him all treasures of the divine wisdom and knowledge are revealed. It continues, there hang our God on Calvary, and they were too blind to see it, although in open view, and still they don't see it. Why? They are blind. Then he came to Paul, then to Peter, there in the prison, as the pillar of fire. But in the last days, he is supposed to return again. A pillar of fire must come back again to manifest the Son of Man, to show the Word, the light. The traditions will be wiped away. Denominations are torn down. There is nothing that can stop it. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. In the revelation of Jesus Christ is the power of God. And there is no man who could resist God and His Word. If they are of a different opinion, then they have their own opinion. But we have the mind of Christ. And this does not make us arrogant. It's only grace. Who are we? Could not God have taken the smart people of this world? Wouldn't they have had better skills to set forth His counsel more elegant? Who are we, who we are coming with trembling and hesitating to proclaim His Word? But God knows always what He does. He took the shepherds. He took the farmer people. He took whom He wanted and revealed Himself to His own and revealed to them also the Word. It continues, what kind of a spirit will do it? Just like it was in the first place. Look, what He done in the days of Elijah and in the days of John the Baptist. There was a time in the scripture when a man entered through this veil. It meant his sudden death. But now it is death not to go through it. Amen. If you can't break that veil of tradition, if you cannot break through that wall of denomination to see God in His power, then it means death. By traditions, by customs, by false teachings, the people were lured and they stagger to and fro. And nobody needs to read in the New Testament that the veil of Moses is still upon Israel. One can just as say the scriptures of the New Testament remained hidden to the people until this time. Whom could God introduce? Whom could He take into His Word? It's a negligible small number in comparison to all the great mechanism which goes on in a special way in all of Christianity. Who are the people to whom God reveals Himself in these days? People who broke loose, who broke through the fence of the denominations, who left behind all traditions and customs, who have come out from the old leaven to not again mix, but receiving in them the unmixed Word of God as the divine seed. That's how it was at the beginning of the New Testament, and that's how it will be now at the end. Here it continues, the veil is rent. Glory to our God. Who is overwhelmed by it? What has it to say to us? We are not standing outside anymore. We stand inside. We don't wait for Christ that He comes to redeem us. We are waiting that He returns to take us as the redeemed home. We see the mercy seat, which was sprinkled with the blood of reconciliation. And we see next to it the Ark of the Covenant. And we see it open. The Word was revealed to them who went behind the veil, who enter to appear in the presence of God. And this is the big difference between the usual sermons or speeches which every year round the clock are read all over, that those concerned can already close the eyes, reciting them inside out, and between the divine revelation of the word of prophecy and the will of God for this time. I don't know whether we still must make clear this difference or whether we already experienced it. I personally can remember very well the time, and I'm grateful to God with all my heart that today we don't sit at the lips of a scribe, but at the feet of our Lord and Savior, who made His Word alive and powerful and glorious. And in these days, we must experience the power of God. Just prepare for it. We must have the inner attitude to the matter. Every man who wanted to receive something from God, he believed towards this matter. That's how the people came to the Lord. Whoever needed healing believed that the Lord can heal. Whoever needed deliverance believed that the Lord can deliver. Whoever needed salvation believed that the Lord can save. Everybody who had some kind of need came to the Lord, not with thousand things, but with this one matter. And so in these meetings, we must leave the dispersion and together concentrate on one thing, namely to experience God in His power. And to it is necessary that we firstly believe what the Scripture says and how the Scripture says it. And secondly, that we count with it that God will visit us graciously. If somebody comes into a meeting and counts with nothing at all, he can be certain that he will receive nothing at all. And whoever comes and counts with it, that God will speak to him, he can be convinced of it. God will speak with him. We must come with a desire to see then this desire satisfied. If these people would have known the Word of God, then they would have seen the mercy seat on that day on which Jesus died. Who was this man? They would have recognized who he was. Why did the veil rend? Remember, it meant death to go behind the veil. Therefore, of course, nobody could see it. Moses saw him in a form. It was a man's back. Here at Golgotha, it was a bleeding back. Yet it was the same man. God wanted to show them who he was. Beloved, these are precious thoughts of God. Moses saw his backside and said, it was like the back of a man. In the Old Testament, and may God forgive me, he turned his back to the people. He had to wait until reconciliation, until redemption, until salvation, until grace comes. In the New Testament, he turned his countenance to us. He stretched forth his hands on the cross, as if he wanted to say, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest unto your souls. What a difference between the Old and the New Testament. If somebody turns his back to you, then you know what time it is. He turns away from you, doesn't want to have fellowship with you. And suddenly, everything becomes different. There is a head of whom a songwriter sings, O head full of blood and wounds, full of sorrow and full of scorn, O head bound in mockery with a crown of thorns. He looked at us. He looked at us graciously. And therefore, we are so grateful. Redeemed, I may glorify it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Precious heart, every man who has grasped this indescribable grace of God, or who was grasped by it, he cannot do otherwise but to burst into tears and say, Lord, who am I that you have pardoned me, that you have drawn me to yourself? It continues here. God wanted to show them the mercy seat. Therefore, the veil in the temple was torn from the top to the bottom by the hand of God from top, and it showed God in a plain view. It was Jesus Christ hanging there on the cross on Golgotha. The mercy seat was in view, but the people were too blind to see it. Of what is it about today? Where is today this word of the cross preached? And where are the people called and said to them clearly that they can experience God? It is a social, a human gospel was made, and the people are lulled into a false peace. But then one day they come to their senses, and woe to him who only wakes up when he died. There are many people who only wake up after they have died. One I know by name. This was the rich man of whom it is spoken of, Brother Branham lines it out. On earth, he had everything. The garner was full, and he said to himself, "May thy soul enjoy everything," and so forth. And in the same night, he was told, "Thou fool, today your soul is required from you." And this man woke up after he died. In the recent time, I was thinking much about it. How terrible it is when people wake up too late. It's already terrible if one wants to depart on a journey and one misses the train. If one wants to fly and one misses the flight. There are many things which are embarrassing and somehow unpleasant, but there's nothing more unpleasant than the fact that people missed all of their life to be not only be spoken to about their salvation or let themselves be spoken to, but to experience peace with God. Really, to have an experience with God. It continues here, it's organized traditions of men until they don't know anymore where they stand. But glory to God. He promised in the last days to show us His word in plain view and to open it before us again. What a wonderful fact. God promised, and He also did it. There was no time, neither in the Old nor in the New Testament, in which God's Word and all of the plan of salvation, with all the details, was made known in such a way and revealed as right in our days. We are grateful to the Lord. Moses maybe knew what Enoch said and some before him. Elijah knew what some said before him and what God told him. And even Paul went to be with the Lord before John on the Isle of Patmos got these final things revealed from God. If we now look into church history, since the days of Reformation, God did great things, and yet He reserved for Himself to give the best at the end and to reveal and make it known. Because we have now the privilege to live at the end of the time of grace, we can, and thanks be to God for it, we can enjoy the promises which were given to the finishing of the plan of salvation. And we not only hear them, we believe them. And because we believe them, we will experience and receive what God promised. In these days, we will time and again emphasize to experience God and not only to be hearers of the Word. It continues, if they would have known the Word, then they would have known who Jesus was. Today, it's the same. If the people would know the Word of God, then they would also recognize the hour in which we live and what is happening in our time. But they refuse because of their traditions to hearken to the Word of God. Is this not a sad situation? Wonderful services, solemn organs which reach to the ceiling of the church, choir singings, and all the framings which are all over given, and no divine revelation of the word and of the will of God, no word of prophecy, no teaching, no illumination, no insight into that what God has promised. Sometimes when it comes over me, then I wished myself that the Lord would give to this generation an offer of grace. Really, that all could still get knowledge of it before it will be too late forever. But God knows what He planned. We can wish ourselves many things, but only that will happen what God determined in His plan. But because we ourselves are saved, we want that many get still saved. Because the truth has become precious to us, we want that it still becomes precious to many. Because we ourselves were introduced into the mystery of the Word, we want that many are still introduced. What is the purpose of this revival, which takes place right in this moment? Will it prosper? Will it be blessed? I don't care how many impersonations or what else comes. For remember, also under Moses was a mixed multitude. It remains. God is true and every man a liar. God's word is right. God needs no interpreter, for He does His own interpretation. He manifests His word. This is the interpretation. God unveiling Himself in the midst of us. We see His great hand telling and doing all these things. Can we say amen to it? Have we seen the hand of the Lord, of which it is written, the right hand of the Lord is exalted, and the right hand upholds the victory. No matter how much confusion, how much impersonations, how much we are shaken to and fro, wheat remains wheat. Nothing can be changed about it. This will never become different, forever not. Everything brings forth after its own kind. And Christ is the beginning of the creation of God. That's how it is written in Revelation 3, verse 14. Not the beginning of the creation of the world, of the earth. The beginning of the creation of God by begetting after the word of promise of God was received by faith and the Holy Spirit brought forth this word of promise in Mary to life. The beginning of the creation of God through divine begetting. Beloved, about this the scholars argue and the simple rejoice about it. For in the same way we receive the divine word of promise into us, and this word is the divine seed, and upon this seed comes the Spirit, and the Spirit brings forth new divine life. Not an idea, not a nice pious face, but new divine life. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. The old is past. Behold, all things have become new. I have to bring a message about this subject and to reveal it. See how we must watch the hand of God, what He does, and how He unfolds it before us. This sentence, I also want to refer to our time. At that time, Brother Branham said it, while he was still alive, and while he carried out his ministry. Nothing has changed on it yet. Also, we will have to watch and be watchful to see precisely what God is doing now. Here it says literally, I have to bring a message about this subject and to reveal it, of how we have to watch the hand of God in what He does and how He unfolds it before us. We don't have to watch what people are doing, what they are setting forth and unfold. This has anyhow no future, but we want to be part of it. When God unfolds His word, His will, His plan of salvation before us, as a construction worker speaks with the architect and sees the details, so we want to look into the plan of God. We want to see what He does and how He unfolds it before us. O church, you preachers of the gospel, and ye who you read these scriptures, can't you see the day in which we live? Can't you see the hour in which we are, when God reveals Himself? Look how He took this veil of the temple and has torn it in two pieces, so that they would have the opportunity to see God in a plain view. How wonderful! God always does something to give us the opportunity to also understand it, to recognize it, and then, by the grace of God, to also experience it. Here, the church, the preachers, all who read these scriptures are requested, and they are asked whether we recognize the day, whether we recognize the hour in which we are. God revealed Himself. He has made known His counsel. We see the things clear by God's grace and help. It continues, nevertheless, they were blind to see it. He does the same today by showing us His word in a clear way, in the very same way as He promised it to us. Do you know what the church from the nations will do? The same what the Jewish church did. The church is blind. She doesn't recognize of what it is about, but it will be on their hearts, just as it was in those days. You must enter in through this veil. This we most certainly understood tonight. We cannot remain in the outer court and then speak about the things in the most holy place. We can also not remain in the sanctuary before this veil. We must recognize. We live in the time in which everything was revealed. the veil was taken away. It is the time of revelation of Jesus Christ. Revelation means unveiling. Unveiling means to make known what was hidden before. In the last book of the Bible is written at the beginning, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the man who received this revelation of Jesus Christ before he reads the other chapters of the book. There are enough teachers who read in chapter 6 and chapter 16 and have much to say about it and to write, and also in all the other chapters. But I say to you, in humility, in no way looking down on others, whoever does not have the first verse of the last book recorded as a divine reality in his life does not need to read further at all. John firstly received the revelation of Jesus Christ. And this revelation of Jesus Christ is the beginning. With this it starts, and then open up in him and through him all the treasures of the divine wisdom and of the divine teaching for all who have recognized this revelation of Jesus Christ by faith. Not with the intellect. How can we understand God with the intellect? This is impossible. How can we explain him? We cannot even explain ourselves. I have never found a man who could explain all of his organism. And here one should ask doctors. They marvel and marvel how man was created. Who wants to explain God? Who wants to explain a blade of grass? Where's the life in it? Where in the flower? Everything dies in autumn. In winter it's dead. And in spring it comes forth again. Who wants to explain it? No man. There's no need for it. We believe that what is reality. And before there was anything, God was. And God is eternal reality. He can reveal himself in heaven as Father, on earth in the Son, and he can dwell in us by the Holy Spirit, and he always remains the one and the same God, to whom we can bring our due thanks. It continues, you must enter in through this veil. How could God be merciful to them who rejected him? Just think of it, what it was. God revealed what was behind the veil. The word was unveiled. But where was it? It was in the Ark of the Covenant. It was the word which the veil should hide. Jesus was the Word, and he is still the Word. Today, the veil of the traditions hides again the Word. Is it not so? The explanations and interpretations have totally covered the Word. Of the Word, nothing can be seen anymore. What one hears are the interpretations, and there are not only enough of them, but too many. Let us come with this thought to the end for today. Behind the veil, in the Holy of Holies, was the Word, and the mercy seat. Both is connected to one another. Both stand side by side. People who may come near to the throne of God are people who then find out, here is the Holy of Holies. Here God pardoned us. Here the reconciliation took place. Here he speaks through his word with us. The one is the reconciliation through the blood. The blood was placed upon the mercy seat. God then looked down graciously when he saw the blood and forgave. But now we see through Calvary, the veil was rent, the way is free. The Ark of the Covenant is open. The Word is before us, no more hidden, but revealed, unveiled. Let me say once again, as clear as I can, all who enter in behind the veil and have recognized that a great day of reconciliation of God took place with mankind, and that the veil was torn as a sign of it, that now the way is free to the mercy seat, and next to it was the Ark of the Covenant, to the Word of God. The way is free. We are redeemed. We are pardoned. We are God's possession. Our guilt was atoned. Our sin is forgiven. Jesus Christ gave me life, as a hymn writer sings. I am free. I am free. Our judgment and condemnation came upon him. The chastisement was laid on him so that we might have peace, and by his stripes we are healed. Romans 5 verse 1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Calvary is not just a place, not just a site. On Calvary, the reconciliation of God with mankind took place. We have been pardoned. Salvation we received. And now we are in the presence of God to hear his word. It is open to us, very near to the mercy seat, in the Holy of Holies. O people of God, brothers and sisters, let us recognize that we didn't remain in the outer court and also not in the sanctuary, but that God has made us worthy, not because we would have done something good, but because of the given sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. Those who were standing afar became those who stand nigh. The enemies became friends. Out of children of men became children of God. And we can be part of them by his grace. When now the countenance of a Moses was shining, when he received the law, which held the sentence and the condemnation in it, and yet he was shining. He must have sensed inside the same God who is judge and who has given a hard law. He will reveal himself as Redeemer and will take our punishment. The prophets knew by the Spirit already a part of that, what God planned, and we are glad about it. Moses' countenance shone when he brought the law of God and when he heard the words of God. Then he put the cover on his face. We shall now, with an unveiled face, reflect the glory of God. Although we are drawn and tired in the body, in us burns a divine fire. A thankfulness is in our hearts, for verily God has done great things in us. He has shown us the veil was torn, the way is free. We have been reconciled with God. May we begin to shine. Maybe not always outwardly, this is very hard for us. But also this can be. God can change our uptightness and our inner pain into a beautiful joy. And the joy in the Lord will be our strength. And the right hand of the Lord remains exalted, and it upholds the victory of Calvary, for all the redeemed who at that time were bailed out. May the Lord bless these words in all of us by His grace. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. Perhaps we sing the chorus, "Just as I am." Heavenly Father, that's how we come to You. Yes, we want to come to the throne of grace, to thank You with all our hearts that You meant so well with us. Faithful Lord, You have spoken in these days in a special way with Your people. You have given the prophetic revelation of Your word and hast revealed Thy will. Now help us to recognize now in what kind of way You want to walk forward with us. Let us find the connection to Your working and to Your doing. Place us into Your plan, into Your program, fully. Lord, I thank You for all my brothers, for all my sisters, for all of Your blood-bought multitude. Beloved Lord, cleanse us and sanctify us. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. May divine reverence and holy respect before You and Your word be found in all of us, Lord, so that You can continue to speak with us and that You could then also reveal Yourself in a mighty way. Lord, we are here in great expectation and we thank You that You will make all things well and bring it to pass in a wonderful way. Blessed and praised be Thy name. May Your blood, Your word, and Your spirit in these days do in us a perfect work in us and on us and through us. Blessed and praised be Thy holy name. Hallelujah. Amen.